Okay, we're starting at the bottom of Yud Amud Bet. We started with this Avshalom. We're in the middle of Avshalom, talking about what he did wrong. We had this Avshalom lakach vayatzav lo b'chayav. So the question is, my lakach, what did he take? Amar Rish Lakish shalakach mekach ra la'atzmo. He took bad advice, or he took made a bad decision. And then it says, et matzevet asher be'emek ha'melech. Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. That's the next, I think it's even the same pasuk. Right, the pasuk is right. Vayatzev lo b'chayav et matzevet asher be'emek ha'melech. Okay, and he makes this matziva. What's the word?
Monument.
Thank you. He calls it Yad Avshalom. Okay, and it says about it that it's matzevet asher be'emek ha'melech. Right, matzevet is this matziva monument. Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. What are they darshan from this? Be'etza amuka shel makos shel olam. Okay, that he took, he did this based on, this was really all guided by God. Okay, and why was it guided by God? What was the problem? David, and Avshalom rebelled against David. David, in the merit against, when he sinned with Bathsheba, he's trying to come in, just someone guide him. When he sinned with Bathsheba, he was punished, and because of that, Avshalom came as a punishment to David, basically. This all goes again with the theme that we've been talking about of midah keneged midah, which is what you do, you'll be punished for. So David sinned with Bathsheba and he got punished. So Avshalom now came and tried to go after him. Maybe you can try it with this, yeah. Just Deb, just set her up where we're up to, because I don't know if it's at the exact spot. Okay, Dichtiv. Now, where do we see this? Dichtiv, here's another pasuk where we see the same thing. Okay, this is the pasuk here. Dichtiv, hineni mekim alecha ra'a mibeitecha. That's where David's saying, you're going to have ra'a mibeitecha. What do they see? Ra'a mibeitecha. Right? From your home, the bad is going to come. Okay? From Bathsheba. Don't know where it is.
Deb, it doesn't matter.
Oh, okay, fine. Deb, she's fine. She's gone. Okay. So now you're going to see another case where this happens. Kayotze b'davar ataomer v'yishlecheu me'emek chevron. Okay, who's this? When Yaakov sends Yosef to the brothers, when the whole thing goes down, right? When then the brothers send him off. So Amar Rav Chanina bar Papa, the same thing. Be'etza amuka. In other words, where are they getting this amuka from? Sorry, I forgot to point this out. The matzevet asher be'emek hamelech was in the pasuk by Avshalom. What's the emek hamelech? Emek is from, they're saying etza amuka. This came from the deep advice from God. So here also, ve'yishlecheu me'emek
chevron.
Yes, yafeh. Chaye Sarah, Emek Chevron. He gets sent from Emek Chevron. Why Emek? Emek is a reference to the Eitza Amukah of God, that this was all guided by God. When Yaakov sent Esav, it wasn't B'mikre that he sent him. It was because God wanted this. Okay? And why Chevron? Be'Eitza Amukah Shalotot Tzadik Shekavur B'Chevron. Who's the Tzadik Shekavur B'Chevron? Avraham, Maran Machpelah, Dichtiv, Yadoa Teida Ki Geri Yezaracha, and this was the beginning of the fulfillment of the Brit Bein HaPtarim, the Geri Yezaracha. So when Yaakov sent Yosef to Mitzrayim, down to the brothers, which led to him going to Mitzrayim, it was all part of God's master plan. So in this case, we're darshaning Emek Chevron, connecting it to Chevron, Avraham, and the other one, it was Emek HaMelech, and it was referencing the Eitza of the Etzam Mukasha Makosha Olam, referencing God and the Melech. Okay? Which also was a bit of a reference to David HaMelech, that David, it was because of David HaMelech that now he ended up getting punished, and that's why Avshalom was trying to rebel. Okay. Ki Amar Ein Li Ben. This is now Avshalom's continuing. He says, because I don't have a son. Now, what does it mean he doesn't have a son? There's a bit of a problem with this. The lohavu lebnei, he didn't have children. V'haktiv v'yivaldu la'avshalom shlosha banim u'bat achat. It said he had children. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak bar Avdimi, shelo haya lo ben hagun l'machut. Okay, it wasn't that he didn't have a son. So he didn't have a son who was worthy of being the king. Rav Chista amar gemire, we learn that kol asoref tvuato shel chavero Eino meniach ben liyorsho. Now we're going to see, okay, again, we have to just remember what we're up to. In the middle of Masechet Sota, we've been talking about this woman who does something bad, or maybe, we don't really know, and then she gets punished for it pretty badly if she goes through with the whole process. And then we talked about the whole thing is midah keneged midah, and we've been showing all sorts of things where there's midah keneged midah. Most of what we're going to discuss today has some reference to this concept of you get what you deserve. So here, we learn, why did Absalom not have any children that were worthy of being king? Because anyone who burns the tvuah of his friend, your produce, okay, you can see where this is going, eino meniach ben liyorsho, he's not going to have produce, basically, of his children. Okay, and where do we know that he burned someone? V'iyu kal ye lidi Yoav. He burned, Absalom burned all the crops of Yoav. Yoav ben Tsruya. Dichtiv, right, he was the Sar Tzava. Dichtiv, vayomer elav adav, v'u chalkat Yoav, v'u chalkat Yoav el yadi, v'lo sham se'orim, l'chu v'hitzitua be'esh. Okay, I'm reading the whole pasuk here. V'yetzitu avdei Absalom et ha'chalka be'esh. So he told his people to go burn the sadeh of Yoav, and they did. Okay? So now you see that because of that, he was punished that he didn't have children. Bechein le'inyana tova, Miriam. If you remember in the Mishnah, it said not only bad people get what they're deserving, but good people also get rewarded midah keneged midah. If you do something good, it will go rewarded. Midame, how could you compare these two? Now, if you remember, what did we say about Miriam? She waited for Moshe, baby Moshe in the Teva. She waited for him. And because she waited for him, and it said in the Mishnah, Sha'a achat, she waited 1 hour. She was rewarded that when she in the end got punished, that with Sara'at, everybody waited for her 7 days for her to get out of her leprosy. So now they say, midame, wait, that's not a comparable comparison. If we say midah keneged midah, you do something and you get exactly what, you know, what corresponds to that. So this isn't, right, it's imbalanced. Hatam chadashata, that was 1 hour she waited, and ha'achas shiva yame, she got rewarded 7 days. Amrabaye ema uleinyan tova enokain. Okay, maybe you should say, but when it comes to the good, it's not like that. That's what it really means to say. In other words, it's like that, but all the more so. Amrle Rava, but how could you possibly say that, Abaye? Because v'ha v'chein leinyana tova katane. Doesn't it say that it's the Mishnah said, and just like this, it is for the tova. So how could you say it's not balanced? Ella Amar Rava Hachi Katani. Rava says this is really what it means. V'chein le'inyana tova, deba'otam midah ula'olam. In other words, when it comes to the good, it's also in the same way. But la'olam midah tova meruba mi'midat poranut. In other words, when it comes to the midah tova, it's always better than the midah poranut. Okay, and therefore you're going to get more reward when it comes to the midah tova than the midah poranut. Okay, one second here. Do you want, just show it. You want to follow in here, Karen?
No, I'm good.
Okay, you're good there. Fine,
yeah.
You got it.
Thank
okay,
you, thank you.
Great. Okay. Vatitatzev achoto merachok. Now we're going to talk about this Miriam. Okay, again, tangents. We started with one thing. Now we're going to talk about Miriam waiting for her brother. So she was standing merachok. It says the words vatitatzev. Okay, she was standing. Amrav Yitzchak pasuk ze kulo al shem shechina ne'emar. This is all. Because this is all really, who was really standing there? God was standing there, okay? It's like a reference to the Shekhinah. It's true. It's not that Miriam wasn't standing there, but the idea is that this pasuk is referencing God. How do we see it's referencing God? Ne'emar v'titatzev, dichtiv, v'yavo Hashem v'yityatzev. There's a pasuk about Hashem where it says, He came v'yityatzev. It's in Shmuel Aleph. Okay? And it says, v'yityatzev, v'yikra kepam bepam Shmuel, Shmuel. This is when Shmuel gets that nivuah when he's in bed, right? He's working in the mikdash from Eli, and all of a sudden God calls him, okay? It's his first calling from God. And it says, vayityatzev, the same root is used. So they say, that's a reference that God is also standing with Miriam. Achoto is also a reference to Hashem. Where? Dichtiv, emor lechochma achotiat. Okay, this is a pasuk from Mishle. It says, tell Chochma that I'm its sister. And they're saying that's a reference to God. And Me Rachok, okay, Vatitetzev Achoto Me Rachok. So now the Darshan, every word in that Pasuk, Also, there's a pasuk that relates to God about this word. Dichtiv merachok Hashem nir'ali. Nir'ali ladad, I think it's part of the pasuk. Oh, no. Merachok Hashem nir'ali v'avat olam avticha al kem shachtich chesed. That's from Yirmiyahu. And then ladat, so here's the rest of the pasuk. Vatetetzeva choto merachok ladat, so here's ladat. Dichtiv ki el deot Hashem, okay, Hashem is full of knowledge. Ma, okay, ladat ma, so ma dichtiv, ma Hashem elokecha shoel mi'imach, right, what does God ask for you? And does God only ask you for this? Ye'aseh, right, ma ye'aseh lo, ye'aseh dichtiv, ki lo ye'aseh Hashem davar lo, davar, ki lo ye'aseh Hashem davar, here's another person of God with asiya, lo dichtiv, vayikra lo Hashem shalom. So they basically darshan everywhere from that pasuk and showed each of those words is mentioned in reference to God in another place, and therefore we see that when Miriam was watching Moshe, God was with her. Okay. Again, this is all referencing the idea about God being behind, right? In other words, we started the daf with the fact that Avshalom was sent as a messenger of God to rebel against David. Yaakov sent Yosef as a messenger of God to fulfill the Brit Bein HaBetarim. And now we're showing that when Moshe was watched by Achoto, by his sister, really God was with him. And it was all sort of orchestrated by God. Okay, now we're darshaning more pesukim. Vayaka melech chadash, famous pasuk, right? The new king comes up in Mitzrayim. We're now in Egypt. Okay, the new king comes to Mitzrayim, asher lo yadat Yosef. Okay, what does this mean? Was this really a new king or not? Probably know this famous Rashi's quote. Rashi quotes our Gemara here, Rashi on the Torah. Rav Shmuel Chanamar Chadash Mamash VeChanamar Shenitchashu Gzerotav. Right. In other words, one said it was really a new king, and one said it was that he changed his policies. Manda Amar Chadash Mamash Dechtiv Chadash. Okay. So the one who said it was a new king—that's the pshat. It says it was a new king. Umanda Amar Shenitchashu Gzerotav. Where does he base that on? Dilokti vayamat vayimloch. Okay, and it doesn't say that he died and then there was a new king. There was no transition. So it seems that maybe it was actually the same king. Asher lo yadad Yosef. Dahavadame kiman de lo yadaleklal. In other words, how could it be that he didn't know Yosef? It was the same king. So now they say, oh no, he made it as if he didn't know him at all. In other words, he pretended. Vayomer elamo, hine am b'nei Yisrael. Okay, so now we're going to darshan this pasuk. Tana, there's a brayta that says, "Hu hitchil be'etzat tchila, lefichach lakat tchila." Now, as he started with the problem, and as he said, Paro was the one who said, "I think there's going to be an issue here, right?" Hinei am b'nei Yisrael, and they're going to say, right, they're so great, and they're going to multiply, and they're going to take over. So, because of that, he was the first one who got punished. So, hu hitchil be'etzat tchila. Where do we see this? Dichtiv vayomer alamo, right? He's the one who said to his nation, we have a problem. It wasn't, it's interesting. Often the king realizes there's an issue because his people tell him, right? Generally, the king doesn't even know. Here, it was after the opposite of what you would think would normally happen, where the king himself is the one who came up with the problem, and therefore he got punished first. Where do we see this? Dichtiv becha ube'amcha ubechol avadecha. This is, I think, with Tzvardea, right? Makat Tzvardea. Right, ubechav v'amchav v'chol avdecha ya'alu hatzvardeim. So notice what it says, to you, right, and then to the people. So first it went to Paro, okay? Hava nitchak malo. Okay, now here we're going to have a problem in all these psukim. We're going to list a whole bunch of psukim when it comes in the Pesach story, that he speaks in the singular when he's really talking about B'nai Israel. So it doesn't make any sense, so they're going to darken them. Hava nitchak malo. Right, let's be smarter than them is what he's really saying, right? What's the issue? Paro's concerned that they're going to come and multiply. He says, let's get smarter, let's outsmart them. But it says, let's outsmart him. Lahem ibaile, it should have said, lahem. Am Rav Chama Rabbi Chanina, bo'u v'nechkam lemoshi'an shel Yisrael. What he's really talking about is, let's get smart to the one who saves the Jewish people. Bamen yidonam. Okay, so now he says, let's get smarter and let's outsmart God. So what does he say? How can we judge them? If we punish them, how can we punish them, really, is what it means. Nidonam be'esh k'tiv, hinei Hashem be'esh yavo. If we use fire, so it said, God is going to come with fire. That won't work. U'k'tiv ki be'esh Hashem nishpat. So now it seems like God will rule with fire. In other words, I'll get punished by fire. Becherev dichtiv ubecharbo et kol basar. That's also right. Ubecharbo et kol basar. I guess that's the. One second. Becharbo et kol basar. I guess that means God will slay everyone with a cherev. Ela bo v'nidonam b'mayim. So what's the best way for me to get at them? With water. Why water? Shekvar nishba kadosh baruch hu she'eino mavi mabul la'olam. God already promised, I won't bring a mabul anymore. So water seems to be, as God says in all these psukim, I'll punish them with fire, I'll punish them with cherev, but he never says I'll punish them with water because he promised, I'll never punish you with water. But, right, ki shenemar, ki mei noach zot li. All right, and I'll never do it. V'hein einam yodim, but what didn't they realize? Shal kol ha'olam kulo eino mevi, aval aluma achat u'mevi. In other words, what was his promise? Just that he won't ever destroy the world again. He never said, I won't punish a nation. Now, obviously, can you see where this is going? What's the water? The water is, they said, let's take Moshe, right, and let's drip, right, we'll throw all the babies in the water, and in the end, they get punished with the water of Yam Suf.
And also with the water turning into blood.
Right, also the water turning into blood. Yafet. So, inami, so maybe, okay, or you could say, not just that God promised he'll never bring on everyone, but he will bring on one nation. Inami hue no mevi, aval heim ba'im v'naflim v'tocho. Now you see they're referencing Yam Suf. Maybe God promised he would never bring a mabul, but he never promised that they won't put it upon themselves, because in the end, how did they drown in Yam Suf? They ran into the water. In other words, it wasn't that God brought a storm or right a mabul on them. It was that they went into the water themselves. V'cheinu omer, and here you see in the pasuk, u'mitzrayim nasim likrato. Right, they ran out to get the Jewish people. They weren't. They basically put themselves right into the water. So you could say either that God won't bring a mabul to the world, but he would bring to one nation, or that God won't bring it, but they might bring it upon themselves. V'hainu dama Rabbi Elazar, and obviously, again, we're in this whole midah k'neged midah. V'hainu dama Rabbi Elazar, my dichtiv ki b'davar asher zadu alehem, b'davar asher zadu alehem. Okay, this is from Shmot. This is where it says, Ataya dati ki gadol Hashem mikol Elohim. Right now I see that you're great from all the other gods. Ki k'davar asher zadu alehem. So what does this mean? B'kderash she'bishlu banit bashlu. This is again a way of saying, right, in the pot that they cooked, that's what they're cooked by. Okay, it's again saying midah keneged midah. It's in other words, my mashma. Where do we know to hai zadu lashon dikderahu? How do you know that zadu has anything to do with a pot? What's the connection? Zadu usually means they did intentionally. So what's the connection between zadu and kdera? Dichtiv vayized Yaakov nizid. There you see it has to do with a pot. He made a nizid adashim, right, in a pot. Amrav Chiya bar Abba, Amrav Yisimai. Shlosha hayu ba'otaitza. Bilam v'Iyov v'Yitro. Okay, now we're going to see something interesting. Bilam, Iyov, and Yitro, according to this, well, Iyov we don't really know, but there's a whole masoret about that he lived in the time of Mitzrayim. Okay, nobody really knows when he lived. There's a machloket about it. But this source is going to basically say these three characters, Bilam, Iyov, and Yitro, all were part of, like, they were part of Paro's circle, basically. And they were all connected with this whole Eitzah. In other words, they knew what Paro was planning, and each one reacted in a different way. Bilam sheya'atz neherag. Okay, Bilam advised Paro to do what he did to the Jewish people. So he was killed. Okay, we see that he was killed in the battle with the Midianim. Iyov sheshatak. Iyov just kept quiet. Okay, nidom b'yisurin. Okay, he was punished because he kept quiet, and that's why he suffers most of his life. Yitro shebarach, Yitro ran away. Okay, zachumi bnei banav sheyeshvu b'lishkat hagazit, and it's he in the end gets rewarded because he decided I'm going to keep far away from this. I'm just going to run away. Now it's weird why exactly running away is a good thing and how that's different from shatak. Okay, but I guess if you're shotek, right? We always say shtikaka hoda'a. So if you're quiet and you don't say anything and you're there, it shows that you approve of it. But if you run away, which is a little bit of an escape. On the other hand, maybe he realized he had no chance with Paro, and he figured, let me just get out of here, so at least I'm not showing any support. So he gets rewarded that his children's children ended up sitting in the Lishkat HaGazit. What's the Lishkat HaGazit, you remember? That's where the Sanhedrin sat. We just saw it a few days ago. Shneamar, in the Beit HaMikdash. U'mishpachot sofrim yoshvei ya'abet, tartaim, shmatiim, sukatim, hema hakenim haba'im machmat avi beit rechav. Uktiv ubnei Keni chatem Moshe. So they came from the Keni family, and the Keni family was from the family of Moshe, from Yitro, the chotein, right, the father-in-law of Moshe. Okay, continuing along, I said we were going to show all these psukim that use the yachid instead of the rabim, when it's really talking about rabim. V'nilcham banu ve'alam in ha'aretz, or some other grammatical things that are not appropriate about this psukim. So now he says, they're going to fight against us. That's rabim, that's fine. Ve'alam in ha'aretz, and they will, and so alam in ha'aretz means they went up from the land. It doesn't make any sense. It should be ve'alinu me'ha'aretz, right? And they will go up from the land. So Amar Rav Abba Bar Kahana, ka'adam shemekalel et atzmo v'tolek kilelato b'chaveru. Okay, it's like someone who curses himself, but he puts the curse on his friends. In other words, he's, oh, sorry, v'nocham banu v'alam in ha'aretz, sorry, means, I misread it. It should be v'nilcham banu, they're going to fight against us, and we will go up from the land. In other words, they're going to kick us out of our land. That was his concern. So alam in ha'aretz should have been alinu me'aretz, and we're going to end up having to leave the land. So now they're saying, why does it say alam in ha'aretz? It sounds like the way I translated it. That was why I translated it wrong. Alam in ha'aretz sounds like, and B'nai Yisrael will leave from the land. Right? But what it really means is they're going to fight against us, and we're going to be kicked out of our land. Because if an enemy comes, they fight against you, you get kicked out. So what's it saying? Paro really wants to say, and we will leave from the land. But he doesn't want to say that. Why? It's like an ayin hara, right? If Paro believes in ayin hara. But it's superstitious, basically. People say, if I say the words, then they'll come true. So right. So basically, he said, I'd rather say, v'nilcham banu, and they'll go up from the land, even though what I really mean is, I'll go up from the land. So that's mekalel atzmo, betolek kilelato b'chaveru. He's basically putting it on them, even though what he really means is on me. Vayasimu alav saremisim. So now again, the singular. They put upon him saremisim. What do you mean? It should be alehem ebaile. It should mean on them. On Bnei Israel. So now what do they say? Tana debe Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Milamed sheviu malben vitalulo leparo betzavaro. What they did was they put, what's a malben? A malben is a, if you ever think of the word, it's so interesting. What's a levena? A levena is a brick. A brick is a rectangular shape. A malben in Hebrew is a rectangular shape. Why? Because a malben was like a mold for a levena, which was rectangular. So they brought Paro a mold, a rectangular mold, and he put it around his neck. Now this is all psychological. How did they get Bnei Israel in the beginning to start being slaves? They tried to show, oh, Paro is going to work with them. Okay, so they put this around Paro's neck. Let's read on for a minute. Anyone who tried to say, listen, I can't handle the work, I'm not a good worker, you know, this isn't for me. Amrulo, klum istinis ata yoter mi paro. Istinis is like someone who's spoiled, who needs to shower all the time, or who needs to, you know, like a finicky person. They say, what? Is there anyone more finicky than Paro? And look, he's doing this. So if he could do it, then you can do it. So it was all like a trick to get them, you know, to psychologically. Because what are they referencing here? How did Bnei Israel turn into this nation of slaves? Right? They weren't people who were slaves to begin with. So how did they kind of lure them into being slaves? So first they just made it seem like you're doing work for us. And Paro's also doing work. So you do work, Paro's doing work, all that. Looks nice. Sarei misim, we're going to see how it progresses. Davar shemisim, okay, something that they put. Leman anoto b'sivlotam. Okay, that's like the Devar Shemesim. I think they're referring to this livena that they put on Paro. That's why vayasimu alav saremisim. They put on this malbein, this imprint for the mold for the bricks. Leman anoto b'sivlotam. Again, you have the same problem. In order to torture him with their suffering, it should be anotan. In order to torture them, b'bayle. So, Leman anoto leparo b'sivlotan di Yisrael. It's in order to torture Paro with the suffering of Bnei Israel. In other words, again, it's all referencing the fact that he was working with them in order to cause them to suffer more. So, anoto is a reference to Paro in order for them to suffer more. B'sivlotan di Yisrael. Okay. Vayivan aremis kenot leparo. What is this aremis kenot? What's the root of miskenot? Rav Shmuel, chan amar shemisaknot et ba'alehem. Okay, one is that it endangers the people. I guess this means the people working. Saknot ba'alehem.
It's their owners.
Oh, right. It's the owners. Why? Because they caused Bnei Israel to do this. They ultimately, what it's trying to add is the Aremis Kino weren't called Aremis Kino maybe at that time. Later, they were called Aremis Kenoth because those cities that Bnei Israel built ultimately led to the midstream's downfall into the water. V'chan amar shemimas kenot et ba'alehem. Damar mar kol osek bebidyan mit masken. It endangered the people who were building them, I think, right? No. Midal delo. Oh, right. Sorry. Then it makes them poor. Why? Because in the end, Bnei Israel left with the midstream's jewels and stuff. So in the end, it's also referencing the fact that in the end, these cities caused the midstream to end up being impoverished. Et Pitom ve'et Ramses. Rav Shmuel. Again, Rav and Shmuel are arguing over what's the significance, why the names. Chanamar Pitom Shma. Really, the name of the city was Pitom. The Lama Nikra Shma Ramses. The issue is, it had to have one name, the city, right? At Pitom ve'et Ramses, right? Maybe you thought they're two different cities. No, it's one place. One's the real name and one's the Drush name. So, either the real name is Pitom, v'lama nikra shma Ramses, sherishon rishon mitroses. Okay, that one by one, it would fall, right, it would crumble. Okay, it would totally crumble as you built it. V'chanama, right, that's what we always learn, that they made them and they got destroyed and then they had to build them again, and that was part of the torture process for the Jews. V'chanamar Ramses shma, v'lama nikra shma Pitom, sherishon rishon Pitahom bol'o. Okay, that one by one they would get swallowed up by the ground. Right, so one is it crumbles from the top really, and one is it gets swallowed up by the ground. Because Shiria anu oto ken your bevachen yifrotz.
Why did they have to explain that there was one city if it says multiple cities?
Right, it's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I think they're trying to just find drashot for the names. I mean, but then why would you dafka pick one name and not drash on both of them, right? In the end, you have a drash on both names, but I don't know the answer to that question. It's a good question. Because Shir Yanu Oto Ken Yer Bebechen Yifrot, Ken Rabu Vachem Partsu Mibayale, right? Again, it's Kashir Yanu Oto Ken Yer, right? Should be Kashir Yanu Otam Ken Yer Bu Vachem Yifritsu, right? The more they torture them, the more they multiplied. Amarish Lakish Ruach HaKodesh Mivarsartan. It's really the Ruach HaKodesh is saying they will be fruitful and multiply in the future. In other words, it's not, all right, this isn't just an issue of the plural, it's also an issue of Ken Yirbe V'chein Yifrotz means they will in the future. And it should be, as they torture them, they multiplied. It should be past tense. And what they're saying is, no, it's a nevuah for the future that they're going to constantly be multiplying. Vayakutsu mipnei b'nei Yisrael. What is this vayakutsu? Vayakutsu is from the Shon of thorns. Milamed shayu domim be'enehem kikotsim. Okay, they were like thorns in his. It was like their eyes were filled with kotsim. That's when they saw b'nei Yisrael being fruitful and multiplying, it made their eyes kind of feel like they had thorns in them. It was like saying there's a thorn in your side. That's what it's saying. So what's parech? Rabbi Elazar omer bepet rach, with a soft mouth. Okay, meaning how did that? This was, goes back to the first drasha we saw. How did they get them to work? They softly eased them into it until you know they were kind of ensnared in the trap. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani omer bipricha, that they broke them apart. It's not saying how they got them to work, it's saying when they worked them so hard that they fell apart. This is again showing the progression. The first they had them do typical work, chomer and levenim, and after that they made them do everything and anything. In other words, again, it was showing this idea of the progression of how they kind of got them, eased them into the work. Amar b'shul bar Nachmani, Amar b'Yonatan, shayu machlifim melechet anashim lenashim umelechet nashim lanashim. Okay, we're getting into all sorts of psychological. This is all psychology. Number one, how did they get them to work? And number two, what was their torture method? How did they really make them suffer? So, you know, one was to say they made them do all sorts of work, but now they're saying, no, they dafka made them do work that wasn't appropriate for them. Men did women's jobs and women did men's jobs. Again, sort of a reference to the, you know, men, women are masechet in terms of placement of people and knowing their place, or I don't know. Ulamanda mar nami hatam beperach, ha chavadai bepricha. Notice this pasuk also says, At the end of this pasuk, it also says beparech. It says, "Vayimaru etchayim b'avodah kasha b'chol levanim u'b'chol avodah b'sadeh et kol avodatam asher avdu b'hem beparech." So beparech appears a second time. So saying the first time, if you thought parech meant perach, that that's how they got them to work. By this point, we're past that point, and clearly parech here means that they broke them apart. So they're saying that parech could have two different meanings in different psukim. Darash Rav Avira. Now we start to get to the nashim tzidkaniot. B'schar nashim tzidkaniot shayu ba'oto ador, nigalu Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. It was because of the women, the tzidkaniot women, those great women, that we got redeemed from Mitzrayim. Why? B'sha'al sholchot l'shov mayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mezamen lehem dagim ketanim b'kadehen. And when they went to get the water, that's what the women did, right? Assuming here we're showing the women still did their own jobs, right? The taking the water. So God would bring it so that when they got the water, they ended up with water and fish. V'shoavot mechtza mayim u'mechtza degim. So it was half-half. U'ba'ot v'shoftot shtei kderot. Echad shel chamim ve'echad shel degim. So then they would have, you know, one thing of hot water and one thing of fish. U'molichot etzal ba'alehen l'sadeh. And they would bring them out to the men in the fields. U'marchitzot otam v'sachot otam. They would wash them with the water that they have for washing. U'machilot otan u'mashkot otam. V'nizkikot lehem ben shvatayim. Sh'ne'emar im tishkevum ben shvatayim. So then what would they do? Basically, they would feed them fish. And as you have to remember, they weren't getting fed well. If they're not getting fed well, and they wouldn't let them go home, according to the Midrash, they wouldn't let them go home to sleep, so they wouldn't have children. So what would the women do? They'd meet their husbands out in the fields in the middle of the day. They'd bring them some food, so they had some nourishment, would be able to sleep with them. And then they would sleep with them, Bein Hashvatayim. Okay, where's that? That's like between, they say they slept between like the, where the gvul was. There was like a barrier between fields, and they would sleep there. It was almost like a little bit of a private place. Okay, and that's what it says, Im tishkevum ben shvatayim, and that's clearly a place that's, you know, you could go sleep there, basically. B'sachar tishkevum ben shvatayim, and that's because of the sachar they got, this is how they darshan that pasuk, that they slept ben ha-shvatayim, zachu Yisrael lebizat Mitzrayim. That's why they were able to get all the spoils of Mitzrayim. Shenemar, again, midah keneged midah, right? They tried to be fruitful and multiply. They ended up becoming wealthy. In other words, you could take the lashon of paru, revu, you know, to be great, like multiply. Also, their money grew. Kanfei yonah nechpe b'kesef, v'avroteh b'yirak rak charutz. Right, this is where we... what's the meaning of this pasuk? Kanfei yonah... Yisrael Shenemar, Yonati, right, that Yonah is a reference to B'nai Israel. Right, that the Kamfei Yonah were covered with silver. Ve'avroteh b'yirak rak charutz. In other words, they had like this gold, this green, like probably like emerald. In other words, they were full of gold, of jewels when they left Mitzrayim. Ve'kevan shemit abrot, when they got pregnant, ba'od lebatehen. Ve'kevan shemagia zman moldehen, hochot v'yoldot b'sadeh tachat ha'tapuach. Shneemar tachad atapuach orarticha. Okay, this is a famous pasuk from Shir HaShirim that they would seduce them under the trees. Some of the versions of this midrash say that was dafka where they seduced their husbands under the tree. That's the general version that we usually hear. Today we heard a different one that they seduced them, you know, in the fields, not under the trees. But what does orarticha mean? Oraticha here means that they had children under the tapuach, and that's where they would give birth, because remember, if they gave birth in their house, Paro would find out, and he would know, and he would kill them. Bakadosh Baruch Hu sholeach mishmei marom, misha mankiru mashpir ota, kechayazo shemeshaperet et havlad. And God would send from the heavens someone who would basically help her give birth, just like a chaya, like a chayaza miyaledet, a midwife. Shemeshaperet et havlad. Shneemar umaladetich biyom huledet otach lo karat. Biyom huledet otach lo karat sharech uvemayim lo ruchatzt. Okay, this is a pasuk from Yechezkel that's describing what happened. And le mishi v'hamlech lo humla. Okay, lo ruchatzt le mishi. So they say. ומלקט להן שני עגולים, אחד של שמן ואחד של דבש, שנאמר, וינקהו דבש מסלע ושמן וכולי. Okay, so that's basically how they would help them. They would save them and they would bring them shemen and dvash, and that would be, right, it's interesting, nowadays babies never have honey. They say it's dangerous, right? Babies shouldn't have honey for the bacteria there. Anyway, that's what they would give them in order to help them survive. וכיוון שמכירים בהם מצרים, באים להורגן. Right? As soon as the Mitzrayim would find out, they would come to kill them. ונעשה להם נס ונבלעים בקרקע. They would be swallowed up into the ground, these babies. This is a really interesting image. ומביאים שברים וחושין על גבם. And then they would thresh the land that the babies were under. שנאמר, על גבי חרשו חרשים. On my backs, they plowed. Okay, this is a pasuk from Tehillim. Okay, and they're saying that's a reference to the fact that these babies were plowed on top of. Lachor sholchin, sorry, after the Mitzrim would pass then, as the Mitzrim would come, the babies would be swallowed up into the ground. They would thresh the field, and after they were done, hayum vatzvitzim biyotzim ke'esef hasadeh. Shneamar, where do we get this? This we say at Leila Seder. We quote this pasuk. Rivava ketzemach hasadeh netaticha. As I made you like something that grew from the ground. So they're saying, after they threshed the field, the babies would kind of grow out of the ground. It's this interesting image. V'kevan shemitgadlim ba'im adarim adarim lebatehem. And once they got older, they would come in flocks to their houses. Shenemar, where does this come from? Batirbi batigdili batavoi ba'adi adayim. Al tekre ba'adi adayim, ela be'edre adarim. In other words, ba'adi adayim means with jewels. But they say, no, it means they would come adarim adarim, like in flocks. They would come back to their houses. And these babies were the ones who recognized God right away. In other words, they're basically saying these were miracle babies. And they were the ones who had the first views to, right? They recognized God. Okay? In Kriyat Yam Suf, they're the ones who said that. Okay, now we're going to get to these midrashim. Probably some of these will be a little familiar, some of them not, about the midwives. Okay, this is about, right, we know by the midrash that they said it was Yocheved and her daughter, or, right, who were the midwives. So Melech Mitzrayim said to the Mialdot Hevriot, that's when he says to them, don't let them survive. Rav Shmuel, Chanamar Isha Ubita, Chanamar Kala V'chamota. One says it was a mother, it was the woman and her daughter, and one said it was a woman and her mother-in-law. Manda Amar Isha Ubita, so who's the Isha Ubita? Yocheved and Miriam. They were the two midwives. Umanda Amar Kala V'chamota, Yocheved Elisheva. Elisheva was the one who married Aharon. Tanya Kamanda Amar Isha Ubita. So we have a braita that supports the Isha Ubita one. Detanya, Shifra Zo Yocheved. Bilama Nekra Shema Shifra. She Mishaperet Et Avla. That's why she was called Shifra, because she made the baby better. Davar Acher, Shifra She Paru'u Vu Yisrael B'yameha. It has to do with Shifra, not the shin isn't part of the root. Right? L'shaper is to improve. But not that the shin isn't part of the root. It's She Paru'u Revu. It's the Paru'u Revu that the babies were multiplied in her day. Pu'a zo Miriam, but lamanikrashma pu'a, shaita po'a, right, the note says something else, shaita po'a, oh wait, you just don't read it, right? Umotziat avlad, or you don't read that. Po'a means, she would like, I think it's like poo-poo the baby, you know, like play with him. Davar acher po'a, shaita po'a beruach hakodesh. Vomeret atida imisha tele ben shemoshia Israel. In other words, she would to pu'a is like to babble almost, like to so she would spout, like she would spout either little baby talk to the baby, make the baby happy, or she would spout ruach hakodesh. And she's the one who said atida imi that she's going to have a ben that's going to be moshia Israel, and that's why they hid him. Vayomer biyaldachena to ivriot. Okay, so now you have to read the whole pasuk. So he said, "Biyaldachena to Ivriot, reiten ala avnayim." When they're on the avnayim, we're going to see what this is. Im ben huva miteno tov, im bati v'chaya. So my avnayim, Amar Rav Chanan, siman gadol masar lehem, amar lehem b'sha'a shekora leled, yirechotem mitztanenot ke'avnayim. When she bows down to give birth, her legs get cold like rocks, and that's what it means, ba'avnayim, like in the cold, like when she gets rock cold. That's what we mean. V'ita amar k'dechtiv va'ered beta yotzer v'hino hu osem alacha ala avnayim. Okay, this is, they say, the workers, when they would do it on avnayim, like their legs would wrap around this machine. I think they're talking about like a
potter's wheel.
Right. Ma yotzer ze yerach mikam v'yerach mitam v'sadam be'emtza. In other words, he has one leg on one side, one leg on the other, and the pottery machine in the middle. Av isha yerach mikam v'yerach mikam v'avla be'emtza. That's like the shape of how, you know, the baby is like in between her legs like that. Im benhu v'hamiten oto. Amar Rabbi Chanina, siman gadol masar lehem. Ben panav lamata, bat panel lamala. He gave them a siman how they would know if it was a boy or a girl. And they say that they were each would come out a different direction. That the ben, his panav was lamata, and the bat was panel lamala. So now what happens, right? Obviously, they don't listen to Paro, because they fear God and not Paro, and they didn't do like he said. So now, why does it say kasher diber alehen? It should say kasher diber lahen mebaile. Amar Rav Yosi bar Chanina melamed shetuvaan lidvar vera velo nitba'u. Okay, this means that. I don't know what this means. One second.
Proposition two.
Ah, right. The Paro wanted to sleep with them, and they didn't answer. They didn't let up. In other words, this is another reference to attempted znut and someone standing up to it, like we saw with Yosef before. And again, because we're a Masechet Sota and all about this, they're trying to show that was part of their greatness, not just that they helped the people to survive, but they also withstood Paro's request to sleep with them. And that's why it says alehen, like to them, as opposed to, in other words, with them almost, as opposed to them. He spoke to them, he spoke kind of with them to try to get them to sleep with him. But to chayena et hayiladim. So now they let the boys live. Tana lo dayan shalohe mitu otan. Elan is, what does it mean by techayena? Techayena means they sustain them. It doesn't just mean they let them live. It means they sustain them. Shayum sapkol lahem, must be called lahem mayim umazon. But tomarna miyadot et paro, ki lo kanashim. They said, we're not like the nashim, right? They're not like the nashim mitzriot when they give birth, that they don't even need us. Remember, that's what they said to Paro, that the women aren't even coming to us. My chayot, so what does chayot mean? Ile ma chayot mamash, atu chaya, milo tzricha chaya achrite la'olada. Chaya means a midwife. So if they're saying that the women themselves are midwives, what, someone who's a midwife doesn't need another midwife to help her give birth, in other words, that doesn't make any sense. Just, if you're a midwife yourself, you still need a midwife to help you give birth, you're not going to be able to deal with your own birth, so that doesn't make any sense. Ela amrulo umazo kachaya nimshala. This nation is like a chaya. Yehuda gor aryeh. Okay, now we're talking about they're really like animals. Okay, because chaya means both animals and midwife. It's a strange word that it would mean both those things. Now they're going to show that we're all nimshal to animals. Gor aryeh, Yehuda gor aryeh, Dan Yehuda nachash, Naphtali ayala shlucha, Yisachar chamur gerem, Yosef bechor shur, Binyamin ze'ev yitraf, Dichtiv be. Right, so those who it's said by, and deloktiv bay, in other words, so that's a list of some of the shvatim that have animals associated with him. And anyone who doesn't, there's another pasuk which incorporates everyone, maim chalavi ben arayot ravtza. Okay, also comparing Bnei Israel to an aryeh. Okay, so basically, Bnei Israel are like animals, and therefore, they give birth. What's unique about animals? They don't have mialdot, obviously, right? They give birth on their own. There's no midwives to help them. So that's what they're saying. They're like animals. They give birth on their own. Okay, a little bit more, and then we'll stop for today. Bayas lahem batim. So what does it mean they have batim? He made them houses, physical houses? So Rav Shmuel, Charamar, Batei Keuna Ulevia. By the way, you know, Rav and Shmuel have all these arguments about this. Okay? They're all it's the same people arguing, but almost every time.
He says what?
Right, they never say who says what. Right, it's interesting.
I'm trying to see if you can make a comparison
between
them, but no,
right, you don't know who says what, so right, you could try to think about which would connect, but yeah, you don't really know. Chanamar batei kuna levia, okay, right, because they had the Kohanim, Aharon, and the Leviim of Moshe. V'chanamar batei malchut, okay, kingship. Mandamar batei kuna levia, Aharon, and Moshe. U'mandamar batei malchut, where do we get that from? Malchut David. Nami mi Miriam Kaate. Batei Malchut is David Nami mi Miriam Kaate. Okay, David was a descendant of Miriam. Dichtiv, Vatamat Azuva, Vatikachlo Kalev et Efrat, Batele lo et Chur. Uktiv, David ben Ish Efrati. Okay, they say that the wife of Kalev was Miriam. That Miriam married Kalev, that this Azuva, either they say that Kalev is married to Azuva, she died, and then he took Efrat. And they say that Efrat is Miriam, and Miriam is Ephrathim, and David bin Ish Ephrati. In other words, he comes from there. Okay? So we'll stop here for now. Okay?